your participation in the activities, along with water and healthy snacks, will be provided. Details are at WPFWFM.org or call 202-888-5484. There's something for everyone to enjoy. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of African Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Going to ask to give us more power to the people. We're going to take that power. Today's theme for today is DC Fights Back. No DC Takeover. And we're going to have some wonderful guests. I'll announce them in a moment. But let me first just thank everybody for your fabulous support and donations during our pledge drive. We exceeded our goal on this show, and the station did across the board. So thank you. Thank you. I want to make a quick announcement before we introduce the guests, and that is tomorrow, the esteemed scholar and historian C.R. Gibbs is going to be speaking Tuesday, tomorrow, 6 p.m. At the Woodbridge Library in Northeast D.C. His theme for tomorrow is Black Heroines of the Civil War. And rest be assured, I'm sure he'll have some relevance discussion about how that links directly to today. I also want to take a moment to salute my dear Shiro Nkinji Touré, who left us physically last week, but will always be with us. I'm not going to speak that much about her because I can't do it. She was a very, very, very dear friend of mine. She was a Shiro. My friend just said to me the other day, the first time he heard the word Shiro was from Nkinji Touré. She was on with us here for 30 years on WPFW, I think starting from, well, I know her last show was 2018. She is one of the main reasons that I'm on the air. She was one of the first members of the Black women to join the Black Panther Party out of Baltimore. She was the founder of the D.C. Rape Crisis Center. Helped put Sophie's Parlor on the air, and on and on. She is not leaving us. We are going to keep Nkinji's spirit moving forward, and she's with us right now today. So with that said, I'm going to again repeat. The theme for today is DC Fights Back, No DC Takeover. And the first segment of the show, we're going to have the fabulous Frankie with Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Free DC. We're also honored today to have with us two additional heroes, as far as I'm concerned. One is part of the WPFW family, Chuck Modiani. He's also known as Street Beat. He can be heard every Thursday at 10 a.m. with the collision between sports and politics. But he's also out there in the streets constantly, recording people, participating in what's going on in the community. So so welcome, Chuck. We're glad to have you on for the hour with us today.
Joni, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's long overdue, right? That we're in the same space on the
air. Yes,
like we are sometimes in the street. Yeah.
And we're going to be in the more. Now's the time when we all have to come together and work together. So Chuck's schedule has changed a little bit. He can join us more on here with us at WPFW. I also want to welcome Larry Hamm, another hero, for us here in across the country. Larry is the founder of POP, People's Organization for Progress, does a lot of organizing in New Jersey, is going to be honored later in September, but is very much a part of our sister station, WBAI, and also a part of our station. And we're happy to have Larry on for the hour. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Joni, and good morning to your audience, and good morning to Chuck. It's good to be on with you this morning.
Yes, and Larry will be, I think we also have Chuck. Do we have Chuck Hicks, too, today?
Yes.
Good morning, Chuck. I'm glad you
morning,
could.
Joni.
We have two Chucks here with us.
Let's go.
I'm glad you could join us. And Larry has, he'll be sharing later. One of the reasons that he's on this morning is to show solidarity from the state of New Jersey about what's happening in D.C. And hopefully, let's see, is Frankie on with us? She's logging on now. And Frankie, I'm sure people know about Harriet's Wildest Dreams, who is a very important organization here in D.C. We have them on often, and they're working very much a part of Free D.C. that have been out there in the streets organizing. They had a rally, big rally last Monday. But we're going to start off with a situation that happened on Friday, and then we're going to move into talking about, in general, what Free DC is doing. So welcome, Frankie.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, Joni. Not under these circumstances, but happy to be here. So, yes, my name is Frankie Sebron. I'm the program manager at Harriet's Wildest Dreams. As y'all know, DC is not new to occupation. We have had 32 independent law enforcement agencies here in the city. And on Friday night, we were doing some cop watching because the youth curfew zone has been enacted in Navy Yard through today. As we were keeping kids safe, escorting them around the area, informing them of their rights, Metro Transit Police vastly and grossly escalated and brutalized one of our cop watchers, Afeni. They pepper sprayed her within a foot of her face. They slammed her to the ground. We had to essentially force them to pour water on her and render aid. They took her to a separate location at one point to search her again without anyone else present. She was eventually transported to Howard University Hospital, then back to 1D, then to CCB, and the community showed up in vast love and support. We did wellness checks on her, and she was released on Saturday. Right now, what we're calling on the community to do is file complaints against Sergeant T. Deal. He is the one that escalated. His badge number is S208. You can find that complaint form at www.metrotransit.org/transit-police-complaint-form. Transit-police-complaint-form.
And maybe Frankie will figure out a way to share that information with WPFW.
An update on Afeni now. She is safe. She's with her folks. We have rotations of wellness. But what folks need to know is that we don't leave our people to be taken by the state. We get our people back. And it has to be all of our business, Joni. It is all of our business.
Absolutely.
Happening in the city right now. Know your rights. Don't
wait. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Frankie. Before we move on to the general, what you're getting ready to say, it's important that people, listeners, know who Afeni is. She is a shero in our community.
Absolutely.
So just because a lot of people don't know her. I know her through many different ways. She works closely with Chris Smalls. As people hopefully know who Chris Smalls is. But she also wears many, many different hats. And if either you or Chuck could just give us a sentence about who Afeni is.
Yeah, I'll let Chuck go first.
No, you got it. You got it.
I got it. All right.
You got it.
I mean, in the most plain and simple way I can say this is that Afeni is a freedom fighter, Joni. She's a free.
That's right.
You see her, you feel her spirit, and the way that she fights for her community from a place that's only spirit led, from a place that is literally ordained, and from her organizing to her being on the ground in 2020, she works on budget fights. She does mass lib. Like, there are just so many places and spaces that Afeni has touched people. She is so well loved in the community. And she's just very, very, I asked her last night when I talked to her on the phone, we got off the phone about 11 o'clock. She said, what I want folks to know is just thank you. And I love you. And thank you for showing up for me.
Absolutely. And she's only 25 years old, folks. She's only 25.
28, but yes.
So she's 28 now. Okay. Yeah.
So it looks like she's under 25. So people get that a little messed up. You could argue 21. Yeah.
So Chuck has also worked very closely with Afeni, and Afeni's thankful for the training she's gotten from Chuck. But Chuck, you want to add real quick anything else about Afeni?
Sure. I mean, people know that I walk up to people and say, why are you out here? And I first did that with her in George Floyd uprising, and my phone went on fire. And I've probably interviewed Afeni more than I've interviewed anybody else, because anyone who hears her speak sees how she articulates the problem so well, brings you facts, brings you the emotion that's also in the streets. But also the reason I really wanted Frankie to talk about, because people online don't know what she does in the community, doesn't know the behind the scenes Afeni that doesn't get the attention that the online Afeni does. Mm-hmm. So she's loved, she's beloved. But I think what I walk away with is, what about the young people who weren't caught on camera? What about the young people who haven't garnered this incredible amount of support in the community? What about them?
Yes,
and that's what I feel great. Yeah, that's what I feel great about Harry as well, is Dream Free DC trying to help not just Afeni, but everybody.
Absolutely. So let's jump back to Frankie. Frankie, tell us, I mean, it's only been a week of this so-called takeover. Of course, it's been coming, but tell us, I don't know if you want to start with last Monday with the rally, what you've been doing, or anything you'd like to share about what Free DC and Harry S. Wildest Dreams has been doing to stand up against this takeover.
Yeah, we are asking people to take up space. We're asking people to be visible. We're asking folks to center joy, because our movements are not going to be sustainable without it. Since last Monday, we had a press conference the same time during Trump's announcement of the federalization and the occupation of our city. Since that time, I mean, y'all have seen the videos. There's been a huge surge of federal police presence here. When we were out on Friday, there was a checkpoint right outside of First District. They were confiscating people's mopeds. They were stopping people's cars, pulling them over to the side. And of course, it was all the Black people and all of the brown people. Mm-hmm. So this is targeted. There are certain populations who are at higher risk. Our youth are at risk. Black people are at risk. Migrants are at risk, and houseless people. So we're asking those who have the privilege, use that, be visible, be outside, film the police. We saw FBI, we saw Homeland Security, we saw DEA, there were three youth in that Metro Transit surrounded by 15 to 20 cops. This cannot be the reality. This cannot be the norm. This is not normal. It's what,
you know, this right. is normal. Yes, and in a little while, we're going to hear from Larry Ham, whose mother was lived all her life in D.C., and he's going to give a strong statement of solidarity from New Jersey. But let's keep talking about what Harriet's Wildest Dreams and Free D.C. is doing. You have, I know one of the things you do is you have meetings with each ward, and in a moment we're going to hear from someone who's going to call in who just attended the Ward 7 meeting. But just describe a little bit about how you're moving forward with the organizing with Free DC.
Yeah, so the idea is, in order to buck against authoritarian rule, you need 3.5% of the population. And for DC, there's 700,000 of us. If we can get 24,000 people in posture for non-compliance, and non-compliance can look like a lot of different ways. Imagine, Joni, if we could organize all of the sanitation workers, like what happened in Philly, and they just don't go to work. Imagine to have
that. Wait. Explain to people when did that happen in Philly with the sanitation?
So in Philly, the mayor gave herself a pay raise and essentially shortchanged the sanitation workers, so they stopped picking up the trash. The trash built up. The people put pressure on them, and they were able to come to a resolution, so the sanitation workers got paid. So we need to be thinking about things in mass, and for Free DC specifically, we are organizing by ward. We get connected. There is a Free DC happening in each and every ward. We have monthly orientations. This week alone, we're doing a youth Know Your Rights training, which is on Tuesday. We're having a non-compliance soon. And if you want to get involved with Free DC and be a part of this movement as we fight against fascism, we need you. You can go to freedcproject.org to get plugged in and see when the next meeting is.
Absolutely. And I just got a message that you're also starting to reach out to Maryland and beyond D.C. And so anybody who wants to get involved, give that information again, Frankie.
Yes, to get involved, you can go to freedcproject.org. We have events throughout the week. We have events every day, whether it's a press conference, if folks are outside. And we're also asking the public at 8 p.m. every night, come out of your house, make some noise, say Free DC. We have to make our presence known. DC is our city. These are our streets. They do not belong to an occupation. They do not belong to a fascist government. It belongs to the people.
Absolutely. And there are people out there in the streets at 8 p.m. I know this last Thursday when Chris Smalls was visiting here at Bus Boys, everybody got out at 8 p.m. to make some noise. And even in Tacoma, D.C., all neighborhoods all over the city are coming out at 8 p.m. We're going to hear in a moment, if she can call us now, from Michelle Tingling Clemens, who just attended a Ward 7 Free D.C. meeting the other day, and she said the amount of people that attended this meeting was vastly increased. She's not on yet. I'm going to ask Larry Ham to just briefly, and we'll come back to you. Larry, explain to us why you are so passionate and you want to show solidarity with DC, with what we're going through now. Again, Larry Ham is the founder and head of the People's Organization for Progress, POP, and is out in the streets all the time in New Jersey. So tell us how you feel about what's going on in D.C., Larry.
Well, first of all, I want to express solidarity with the people who are on the ground. I'm so happy to see the activities of Free D.C. I have seen online clips from various demonstrations And I want to tell you right now, we want to come down and show solidarity. We would like to know, you know, when would be a good time for us to put people on a bus and bring them to D.C. and join you, because we see this attack on Washington, D.C. is an attack on all of us. You know, if Trump can get away with the military occupation, the literal military occupation, with 1,000 National Guards, 700 Marines, and trying to take over all the police, if he can get away with taking over D.C., he can get away with that. He can take over the nation. And the thing that he said, and this is one of the things about Trump, he often signals what he's going to do. He says what he's doing in D.C., he wants to do it in New York. He wants to do it in Chicago. He wants to do it in Philadelphia. In other words, this is overall part and parcel of the white supremacist war on Black people in this country. And we've always, you know, maintained that, you know, we've had some difficulty up here, you know, let's say a year ago, trying to convince some folks of that. But I think it's imminently clear to a lot of people now, with everything that Trump has done to attack Black people, and this latest being the military occupation. So we see this as an attack on Black people, an attack on Black self-determination, an attack on Black political power, and an attempt to prevent any type of effective resistance. And we're just glad to see that the people in D.C. are resisting. I was born in Washington, D.C. My mother lived in Washington all her life. She just passed away 2 years ago at Howard University Hospital. So I just want to connect with Free D.C. and Harriet's Wildest Dreams and any other folks that are on the ground.
Yes, and we'll help make sure that, Larry, you get a chance to do that. Right, Frankie? And also, I want to thank Larry, because Frankie, he was talking about Free D.C. and Harriet's Wildest Dreams Friday night on our sister station, WBAI. So he's letting other people know what is going on. Larry will be with us for the hour, but I want to jump now to Michelle Tingling Clements, very much a part of this show and of WPFW. She's a Ward 7 resident, and she is also on the local station board. Michelle, tell us about you have gone to several of the Ward 7 Free DC meetings, and tell us about the last one you went to. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Joni and guests and listening audience. Yes, I went on Sunday. It was the Ward 7's regular Ward 7 meeting. Now, the person who kept bugging me to go is the co-chair of Ward 7. But there were about 50 people there.
Wow, 50 people.
Much larger meeting than any of the regulars had expected. They kept having to open up more chairs or widen the circle. And there were a lot of people there who came from a number of different places. Part of the meeting, there was a report on the anti-racism training. There were requests for people were looking for. There were a lot of people there who were new, who had not been to the orientation. So it was actually, I did meet a lot of people from my community that I didn't know, but I know them. I know people like them and have worked with people like them. There's a five-generation Washingtonian there who was talking about how she and her family understood what was at stake. And she was, you know, we're talking about the different ways in which people can exercise and the different kinds of privilege people can exercise. But what I found were not a lot of people who were interested, just like me, who didn't want to take this stuff and weren't prepared to take this stuff, and that we're not going to take this. So everybody was there to fight back. There was a large crowd that left after and went to Wheat Paste in the community, posting Free DC signs around. There was a block party later, and then I saw some of the same people at that meeting in a picture who were out making noise at 8. So they've touched, you know, a group of activists, because a lot of people really don't understand. We used to say there really isn't a good night to try to have a meeting. You just have to work on people and try and hope that they'll come to yours, because there are always meetings. There have always been people active in the community here. that people don't know. And we are one of the most surveilled areas in the country. So this invasion is just federalizing what we experience on a regular basis with people who are ignorant about our community.
Yeah. So let me, because I know Frankie, I promised her she wouldn't have to stay on too long. But Frankie, you're welcome to stay on as long as you can. Any comments, Frankie, about the Ward 7 meeting or how the other Free D.C. Ward meetings are going?
We are just asking people to get involved. There is space and place for everybody in this movement, y'all. So again, get connected with Free DC, freedcproject.org, and we're going to fight against fascism.
We got to do it. You are fighting against fascism. So we thank you. Can you stay on or do you have to jump off? We're going to speak in a moment with Ron Hampton, who will also comment. We're going to ask him to comment about the situation with Afeni and much more. But Frankie, we are very proud of you, and we're very proud of Nene and all the leadership in Harriet's Wildest Dreams and Free DC. We thank you, and we know that you're going to continue to be out there, and many of us will keep on joining you to fight this fascism.
I appreciate y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Frankie. Frankie has been working really hard. I mean, she's working around the clock. We're going to, in a moment, introduce Ron Hampton. Again, you're listening to Heal DC today, where the theme for today is DC Fights Back, No DC Takeover. And let's see, Magic Mike, maybe you can play a little bit of that song, Keep On Steppin'. Okay, maybe we can't get it that quickly, but we're going to be joined in a moment with Ron Hampton, Larry Hammett. Okay, let's hear it. Okay, some of you may know that song. That's a very popular line dance song, but I thought it was relevant for what's happening in D.C. Today, we're going to keep on stepping. We're not going to let these fascists continue to try to take over the city. We are very thankful that for the rest of the hour, we will have continue to have our own Chuck Hicks, as well as Chuck Modiani, also known as Street Beat, out in the streets all the time, also can be heard Thursdays at 10 a.m. And we have Larry Hamm staying with us for the rest of the hour, all the way from New Jersey, from POP, People's Organizing POP. And Larry is showing great solidarity, which I'm sure other people around the country hopefully will step up and do as well. Just offered to bring a bus down to D.C. to show that solidarity. And we also are thrilled to have Ron Hampton joining us for the rest of the hour. Ron Hampton was just on with Julianne Malveau, and believe he's going to be on with Mark Thompson as well at 11:30. But he's on with us right now. Ron is really part of this show, and this station has been on this show many times. It also can be heard on Roach Brown's show at 10 a.m., worked closely with Tyrone Parker, was the former executive director of the National Black Police Association, and works closely with Ron Hampton. And welcome, Ron. I'm sorry. Somebody, if everyone could mute their phones, if you're on this Zoom call, please mute, because I'm hearing other interference. Okay, can you just, okay, Chuck, we're going to take you, we have to You have to mute, otherwise we can't have this.
I just went on mute.
Oh, okay. 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 So, Ron Hampton, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much, Joan. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm glad to see you and hear you. And introduce yourself a little better than I just did.
Oh. You hit the notes. I'm a former D.C. police officer, former executive director of the National Black Police Association, an organization that really opened me up to a lot of things. And I enjoyed the role that I played in, and as well as I learned an awful lot. Recently, I've been doing a lot of work with Dr. Ron Daniels and chairing the at the Institute of the Black World. We have a police and accountability task force that I've had the honor of serving and leading. And over the last couple of years or so, we've been bringing together criminal justice practitioners and academics and community people to talk about alternatives, because alternatives to the present system of law enforcement, as well as the criminal justice system. Yeah. Country, because it hasn't worked for us. And this is an example of it not working for us. This individual has decided that, you know, he's going to bring in all of these people under a pretense that somehow or another that crime is going up when it's going down. Right. And we have people like Tyrone and other credible messengers and violence interrupters that's been working in our city that are also part of the process of bringing down the crime and addressing it from a grassroots level with the young people and the residents of our city, something that really has worked.
Right, right.
And I'm not going to do anything.
Right. And I want to make sure, Ron, I don't know if you heard, and I'm glad that you're on with Larry Hamm from New Jersey. I know you two have worked together in the past. But before I'm going to invite Larry perhaps to talk with Ron now. But Chuck Modiani, I don't know, Ron, if you heard the situation with Afeni, the sister Afeni. I don't know if you listened to
it. Oh, yes, I've heard about it. Yeah, I've heard about it. And I'm glad that the city people are speaking up. I'm glad that they're having something to say, because that was unnecessary.
Yes, and I don't know, Chuck, if you want to, Chuck Modiani, if you want to ask Ron a question. I mean, that was just a horrifying situation to see this very wonderful young lady, 28 years old, very much a part of the community. And I believe it was, I'm not sure if we mentioned it, I believe she was defending some young people who jumped the turnstile. Chuck, right. Is that correct?
She was part of a cop watch, and they not only arrested her on a turnstile violation, but they pepper sprayed her and attacked her and beat her. And this is somebody who they didn't know, according to her attorney who I had interviewed, they didn't know who she was, that she was beloved in the community, that she was an activist. So in many ways, that's worse, because that's how they're treating anyone and many people who get far less attention.
And Chuck, can you repeat what Frankie shared earlier about the, I believe it was a police person who...
Officer Deal. His name is Officer Deal, badge number S208. And there, Harriet Wilder's Dreams for EDC are going to have a campaign to make sure that people call in and file complaints repeatedly against Officer Deal. So they're doing work on that as well to do our best to hold them accountable. And the other thing is I wanted to uplift that Frankie said is that people of privilege should be out there as well. I saw a young man who was tackled, who was filming the police, a young black man. And I've been that close many times and they never tackled me. And so we're seeing, even during filming the police, we're seeing the racism in play. And it means people of privilege have to come out as well and be smart how to utilize it.
That's right.
Absolutely. And Ron Hampton, do you think it's important for people to do what Chuck just suggested around filing complaints against that police officer Deal?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Look, and not only go to the police station and file complaints, but go to the Civilian Complaint Review Board. I think it's located at on the corner of 14th and I Street, up in that building that that's over top of the subway station there, and file a report, because a citizen who witnessed a situation can also file a report. But first, before I finish, though, let me acknowledge Larry Hammond. I was on with the brother a couple of days ago. We were talking about something. It's always good to see Larry. I'm somebody who I'm a favorite when it comes to the work that you all have been doing up there in New Jersey. It's been fantastic. Somebody talked about it the other day. So it's the kind of stuff that we need to be doing and protecting each other. And I'm glad that the sister, I saw the tape, and I'm glad that the sister stepped up. But what all of this kind of stuff is what's going to happen when you bring in people who don't have a connection to our community. Because these people aren't police, and the police aren't perfect, but these other guys don't have to be accountable, and they're not. We're seeing demonstrations of that.
And Ron, what do you think of, I don't know if you heard Larry say that he feels a strong sense of solidarity with what's with us here in D.C. And he wants to bring a busload from New Jersey to show
his support. The people here in Washington, D.C., you know, they're not reactionary. They're really proactive. They've been on top of this. I know the Hispanic community and the Hispanic organizations have been educating their community as soon as the orange man started talking about ICE and all of that. So any help that we can get, and just the honor of being able to work beside Larry Ham and the people up in Newark that's been doing a fantastic job. You know, we're open for that. Believe me. And if I can do anything in Newark, please reach out to me. Larry, I'd be glad to come up. Okay.
All right.
And Larry,
we're going to bring you up, brother. We're going to bring you up.
All right.
And Larry, again, talk about the importance of, and I'm not sure when this has happened. Of course, it did happen. And Chuck Modiani can talk about what happened in Ferguson when people came from all over the country to show their solidarity. But Larry, talk about, again, the importance, because that hasn't started. I mean, you're the first one who's really stood up and said, you want to come down from Newark to show solidarity to the people of D.C. And, you know, that could be something, you know, that other cities do. But
that's right.
Talk again about why you feel so passionate about that.
Right. Well, first of all, let me say, Ron and I were on a conference call, a Zoom call last Monday, because we're working on trying to have an observance of the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. And also, Ron, I was with Ron Daniels on Saturday for the quarterly meeting that the Institute of Black World 21st Century has. They had it at the Harlem State Office Building, and the meeting was also a celebration of the birthday of Marcus Garvey, which was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And while we were there, we were addressed by Dr. Garvey's son,
who was Garvey.
He addressed us Saturday. And then yesterday there were other celebrations by group like December 12th Movement. But Ron, first of all, let me say, whatever we can do to help the struggle that's going on in D.C., please tell us. Like I'm not coming down there with any preconceived notions about what to do. We just feel a compelling, overwhelming desire to be in support of the people of D.C. In the 1960s, there were rebellions in D.C. and in Newark and in other places. So we know what it is to be under military occupation. And when I saw those troops marching, when I saw those Humvees, when I saw those Jeeps, when I saw those tanks around Union Station, I'm not talking about 1967, I'm talking about last week, when I saw all that, you know, I felt the same way I felt when we saw our people being attacked by the racist apartheid regime in South Africa. And if we can stand up and support our people in Africa and other oppressed peoples in Middle East, Asia, Latin America, we should stand up and support our people who are under attack just 225 miles away. D.C. is only 225 miles mm-hmm. from where I live right now. So just tell us.
No, I agree. I agree with you, Larry. Because, see, this is an action against our people. This is an action against us, not individual, not against Washington, D.C., but against Black people, period. And that is the kind of gesture that holds us and puts us all together in the same place. It really is.
Yeah. And we want to come down. One of our brothers was down there. He's a leader of another organization in Paterson, New Jersey. Mm. He was in D.C. yesterday. In fact, he posted on Facebook. He was in the demonstration in Washington yesterday. So I want to do something a little more collective. I want to put some people on a bus and bring them down. You tell us when and where. And we'll come down and support Free D.C. and Harriet's Wildest Dreams and any other organizations that are out there actually on the front line. I mean, we under attack here in Jersey. I mean, they locked up our mayor. They locked
that's
up
right.
Mayor Ross Baraka.
That's right.
They locked
Alina asking a question. Yeah.
Right. Who was the U.S. attorney for Jersey appointed by Trump, locked up Mayor Baraka, then was forced to drop the charges. Then she got mad and locked up Congresswoman Monica MacGyver. And she impaneled a grand jury against MacGyver and has indicted MacGyver. And MacGyver is going to go on trial. Imagine that. Our first Black congresswoman from the 10th congressional district in the history of the country from the 10th congressional district. Now she's going to be on trial. So we know about this this repression. This is like a form of counterinsurgency. See, they know Black people are only going to take this but for so long.
That's right.
Only but for so long. And we can't predict the hour or the day, you know, or the month, but there will be a reaction. So they're trying to get ready in advance. And the thing I need to say to Black leaders, Black elected officials, you see what's going on in D.C. He said he wants to do this in other cities.
That's right.
Detroit, Chicago, Philadelphia. Are people, I hope they're having some kind of meeting. I hope people are like preparing. And we need to be preparing. I'm not just saying this to the elected officials, but like in Newark, if they're locking up our man, our congresswoman, you know we should be preparing for some type of military occupation. And that's those people should know once they step foot in our community, they are not wanted. Right. They're not wanted.
That's right. That's right. And of course, we know that racism is a tool that they use to keep everybody or keep some people divided. So they've been using that tool for over 400 years. And I also want to mention that the Million Man March, the other thing that happened on October 16th, many years ago, I don't know, Chuck Hicks maybe can remind me of the date, but it was when John Brown raided Harper's Ferry that very same date, October 16th, that started the Civil War. So, you know, it's very important to honor these important dates. I mean, it's kind of miraculous that those two dates are the same. Also, the dates when the two brothers raised their fist in Mexico City to refuse to take that award they were getting. And that's
Joni, on Thursday, we're having a commemoration of Nat Turner.
Wow.
August 21st is the anniversary of Nat Turner's rebellion.
Wow.
And Newark, New Jersey, is the only city in the United States that has a park named after Nat Turner.
And guess
what street the park is on, Ron?
What?
It's on Muhammad Ali Avenue. Oh. Nat Turner Park on Muhammad Ali Avenue.
Wow. Larry,
we're gonna be there at 5 o'clock on Thursday for our annual. We've been doing this every year for probably more than a decade now to honor Nat Turner and his rebellion.
Let me just ask Larry, for those younger people who may not know who Nat Turner was, tell them real quick.
Oh my God, he was the leader of a slave rebellion. I often hear the kids say, well, they teach us about slavery, but did we fight back? Hell yeah, we fought back. We never stopped fighting back.
That's right.
And
Nat
Turner
right.
was one of the leaders in Virginia who led that, who led probably one of the most violent of the slave uprisings. But there were many slave rebellions.
Yeah,
Herbert Aptheker in his book, Slave Rebellions in Colonial America, says there were over 400 recorded slave rebellions. Mm. And most of them we don't remember. We remember Denmark Vesey, and we remember Nat Turner, and we remember Harriet Tubman, some of the others, but yeah. there are a lot of people that were fighting. Our people were all, we never were not fighting back, one that's way right. or another.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why I'm going to announce it again right now. Tomorrow at Tuesday at 6 p.m., you can hear C.R. Gibbs, who is a treasure historian in our community, talking about Black heroines of the Civil War. Black heroines of the Civil War. How often do we get to hear about that? That's going to be at the Woodbridge Neighborhood Library on Hamlet Street Northeast. That's 6 p.m. Tomorrow. And I know a lot of PFW listeners are always coming, yeah. so hope to see yeah. some of you there. But let's... Yeah. We still have maybe about 5 minutes left. One of the things that I think is important for us to talk about is continuing to build solidarity in yeah. D.C. As well as there are other parts of the country. But we need to continue to build this movement. We need to involve the labor movement, the immigrant communities. We all have to be working together, which, of course, is a process. And I'm going to ask Chuck Modiani if you want to jump in and make your final point or any other points you'd like to make before we go.
My final point is Larry has me pumping my fist in the air. There's yeah. so much going on in D.C. I'm thinking, how do I get to Nat Turner's commemoration? I didn't even know they had those, right? And so I'm really just enjoying this dialogue with Ron, Larry. But what I think that I really appreciate about this show is that this is going to lead to actual connections, real tangible connections, not just a radio show, but how do we get together? And if we can't get together now, when can we? Now is the time more than ever. So I'm hoping after this call, people are connecting. Larry's talking to Harriet's Wildest Dreams and Ron, and let's make it happen.
Okay, let's make it happen.
Yeah, and Chuck, I'm going to ask you to help make it happen as well.
Sure. Yeah. Always.
And Joni, uh-huh. please mention to I'll try to get Larry's information from you, and then if you wanna I'll reach back out to you, and then we can try to hook up with Harry's Wildest Dreams and then talk to Larry, because if they're gonna come down, there should be some sort of event.
Oh, absolutely.
That they can come down. Yeah, that's fantastic.
And yeah, Larry's very clear. And we need to have the labor movement. We will have the
Absolutely.
Labor movement
Absolutely.
Involved. And, of course, it's Labor Day coming up. And in a moment, we're going to talk about Chris Smalls. Chuck Hicks, if you have anything you'd like to say before we leave, Chuck Hicks is a son of the movement for many, many years. But we have about 3 minutes left or so. But, again, this is just – beginning. Of course, people in D.C. have been organizing, really since before the Civil War. But now this is a new beginning, and Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Free D.C. is out there taking the lead. But of course, they welcome additional support, and this is going to be a growing movement. And everybody has to be involved, every sector, including labor will be, I'm sure, very much involved, as well as we need to bridge the gap and the divide with the immigrant community.
That's right.
We all need to be
That's
working right. together, and I believe we can make it happen.
That's
we can
right.
make it happen.
That's
right.
That's
right. So That's right. Let's see. Do we have maybe we have time for each person to give a very brief farewell. I'm going to ask. Well, we're going to go, let me just say, we're going to go out with a song sung by Chris Smalls. And before we go there, Chuck Modiani, can you just explain very quickly to listeners? I think listeners know who Chris Smalls is. He was the organizer of the Amazon Labor Union 4 years ago. But tell us, Chuck, what happened real quick, and why was he in D.C. last week.
He was in D.C. last week because he went on the Handela, one of the freedom flotillas going to Israel to deliver aid and deliver food. And that was illegally intercepted by Israel. And he was detained. And as a black man, he was the only one amongst the 21 people on that flotilla who was beaten. So, you know, racism, white supremacy and Zionism, it all mixes together. And he crystallized that. And it was very serious because we were actually really concerned about his life. And there have been 9 Americans who have been killed by Israel since 2002. And there's been no accountability. So he came back. He got a wonderful warm welcome at JFK. And then he came to D.C. last week, joined the media encampment, and then joined Bus Boys and Poets to bring solidarity. And I think you're going to have a song of him talking about the Handela as well. But we were great. It was great to see him. And this is somebody who's just really for the community, and just couldn't appreciate him more.
Yes, we're going to go out in a moment with his song, We Are Handela. I was there. And I was actually sitting right next to Feeney when we were singing that song. So we're going to hear that in a moment. But again, also stay tuned after this show for Mark Thompson, Make It Plain. But I think we have time for a very quick, and I want to give, of course, a thank you, as always, to Magic Mike. We couldn't do this show without Magic Mike. And if I had a magic wand, I'd give him a huge raise. We need more support so we can make sure our engineers are getting paid. They should be getting paid in the, I shouldn't say the millions, but a lot more money. Okay, let's see. Larry, you want to give your final comment real quick?
Yes, well, just to the people of D.C., people here in New Jersey, stand in solidarity with you. Please don't hesitate to call upon us and tell us how we can best support your struggle from here. But I look forward to when we can put some people on a bus or maybe buses and come down there to D.C. so that we can stand shoulder to shoulder with you in your struggle against occupation and fascism.
Absolutely. And of course, coming up is August 28th, the anniversary of the March on Washington. And that date was picked because Emmett Till was killed on that day. So that date is coming up. Ron Hampton, your final word.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, Joni, for the work that you're doing, you and Chuck Hicks. And then it's always a pleasure now that I know Larry to be on the program with him. But, you know, I just know that my hometown is responding, and anything that I can do, we're going to continue to speak out about it. This isn't public safety. This does not work. We know what works. When we start caring for our people, when we start investing in our people and in the communities that we live in, then that's what works. That's what improves public safety. Having more police and all of these other law enforcement agencies that don't care about our city or the people who live here, that doesn't work. And we need to and continue to push back on the whole notion and the idea.
Absolutely. And we're just beginning this fight of bringing everybody together.
That's
we're
right.
Going to keep on stepping. Chuck Modiani, you're real quick, your last word.
My last word is to echo what Larry said, that D.C. is a laboratory. And everybody needs to understand it's a laboratory.
That's right.
What happens here, if it were permitted, it will happen in the next city. And people need to understand that. So that's where
right. That's right.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Chuck Modiani. Again, you can hear him Thursday at 10 a.m. Thanks for Ron Hampton. Ron, we're going to stick together even more. We're going to work together. We're going to make sure we can bring Larry Ham down at the appropriate time when there'll be a big crowd right here in D.C., thanks very much, Larry. Thanks again to Magic Mike. And we're going to go out with this song recorded live at Bus Boys last Thursday night with Chuck Smalls. So check it out.
Everywhere we go. Thank you.
DC Jazz Fest happens August 27th to the 31st with Branford Marsalis, Layla Hathaway, Ron Carter, the String Queens, and more, including citywide concerts from downtown to the wharf. Labor Day weekend. Details at dcjazzfest.org to get your jazz on.
The Birchmere presents Eric Robinson, August 23rd and 24th, and Shalimar, August 28th. Details at birchmere.com.
Concoran Dance Company celebrates its 42nd annual National African Dance and Drum Conference, Coming Together as One, on Labor Day weekend from Friday, August 29th to Sunday, August 31st. The conference workshops will take place at the Washington Marriott Capitol Hill and will be taught by 20-plus master dancers and drummers from Senegal, Mali, Guinea, Liberia, and the Republic of Congo. This year's concert performance will take place on Saturday, August 31st at 8 p.m. at Howard University's Crampton Auditorium and will feature guest artists from across the U.S. and Concoran's company and community class family. Details can be found at www.concoran.org. That's KanKouran.org. Or by calling 202-518-1213. WPFW, where we are changing the world, one broadcast and one community event at a time. I'm Jackie Lukeman, chairperson of the Black Alliance for Peace Coordinating Committee, with an editorial. Donald Trump imposed federal control of the Metropolitan Police Department and deployed the National Guard in Washington, D.C. under the pretext of public safety. This follows his March 2025 executive order establishing the Safe and Beautiful Task Force aimed at addressing crime in D.C. and after the Secure D.C. Omnibus Bill was passed, the latest in Democrat crime laws that have devastated marginalized communities, particularly Black, African, working class, and youth. Now Trump goes further and invokes law and order to justify military occupation. Militarized domestic occupation that advances as the U.S. and the West deepen their support for the Zionist genocide in Gaza, while they normalize repression of the global masses struggling against and resisting them. We must confront the colonial capitalist structures and oppressive class rule that made all of this possible. We must fight Trump's authoritarianism, but we must also fight Democrat tough-on-crime criminalization of poverty and dissent. And we must fight for a future where safety is not imposed by militarization, but built through structures of popular democracy, peace, social justice, and collective liberation. The Black Alliance for Peace says, end the colonial occupation of Washington, D.C. No justice, no peace, no compromise, no retreat. The full statement can be found at blackallianceforpeace.com/BAP statements. This has been Jackie Lukeman, chairperson of the Black Alliance for Peace Coordinating Committee, with an editorial.
Brazilian nonprofit Educarte presents a night of Afro-Brazilian culture with Ile Aie percussion and dance ensemble from Liberdade, Salvador, Brazil, celebrating its 50th anniversary with a return to Washington, D.C. on Friday, September 5th, 8 p.m. at the UDC Theater of the Arts at 4200 Connecticut